a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Leading us in our prayer this afternoon is Reverend Sarah Goldhammer from the Luther Memorial Church here in Pierre. And leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance to our nation's flag are pages Elizabeth Bogue and Elena Schorneman.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather here today, we just give you thanks for those who are gathered here. Be with them, give them wisdom and knowledge, help them to make decisions that honor your will and the state, to protect your people, to care for them, and to lead us. We give you thanks for all of that they give to us and all the people of South Dakota. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will call the roll, please.
Adelstein, Begalka, Bradford, Brown, Buell, Cutler, Frerichs, Risley, Gray, Hansen, Haverly, Heineman, Holeen, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Johnston, Junkie, Kraus, Krebs, Lederman, Maher, Nelson, Nostrup, Nygaard, Olson, Peters, Putnam, Rampelberg, Ray, Roden, Schleckaway, Sutton, Tiedemann, Teason, Valley. Quorum present, Mr. President.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time I'll ask all the pages to just stand up there. For people who are listening, every 2 weeks roughly, we have a new crew. And thankfully, what a great-looking group. You could just line up there, and then we'll go through this oath. And I'll be right back after the short commercial break. On behalf of Senator Russ Olson, who said his peeps have his back, literally, today is Madison Day at the legislature. Thank you for all being here. Welcome to your state capitol, and the reception starts at 5 o'clock, we're told, and thank you for readjusting, giving what had gone on last week. And ladies and gentlemen, Madison Day. Ladies and gentlemen from Madison, please stand. Thank you, and thank you, Senator Olson. Dr. Blake?
Is Dr. Blake in
there? We'll go. Okay. Thank you very much.
What do you want?
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the sixth day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move adoption of the report. Bob Gray, Chair.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Transportation respectfully reports it has had under consideration Senate Bill 16 and 17 and recommends do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Senator Valley, Chair. The Committee on Taxation reports it has had under consideration Senate Bill 61 and recommends do pass. Also, Senate Bill 20, which was removed from the table and recommends do pass as amended. Also, the nomination of Andy Gerlach as Secretary of the Department of Revenue and recommends advice and consent to the confirmation of the appointment. Senator Hansen, Chair. The Committee on Health and Human Services reports Senate Bill 41 and recommends due pass. Also, Senate Bill 15 recommended due pass as amended, and the nomination of Lori Gill to the position of Secretary of Human Services and recommends advice and consent to confirmation. Senator Hunhoff, Chair. Mr. President, the Committee on State Affairs respectfully reports it has had under consideration the nomination of Alan D. Rullman of Brown County, Aberdeen, to the Career Services Commission, and returns the same with the recommendation that the Senate advise and consent to the confirmation of said appointment. Larry. And the nomination of Matthew Michaels of Yankton County, Yankton, South Dakota, to the position of Interim Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. The nomination of Jeffrey Marlette of Pennington County to the position of Assistant Adjutant General, Army. And the nomination of Leroy LaPlante of Clay County to the position of Secretary of the Department of Tribal Relations, and returns the same with the recommendation that the Senate advise and consent to the confirmation of said appointments. Larry Roden, Chair.
Motions and resolutions, please.
Senator Olson moves that Senate Bill 42 be deferred to Tuesday, January 22nd, the 8th legislative day.
All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Senator Olson moves that Senate Bill 30 be deferred to Wednesday, January 28th, the 9th legislative day.
All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. It is deferred. Consideration reports of committees.
Senator Olson moves that the reports of the Standing Committee on Health and Human Services on Senate Bill 6, as found on page 92 of the Senate Journal, be adopted.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Ladies and gentlemen, the next order of business is our first reading of Senate bills. There's first and second reading if they come out of committees. Our Constitution requires that they're read in open session, even though obviously at that time the adoption of our Constitution didn't have computers. We read them so that, number one, everyone can know what the titles were. At that time, obviously you'll hear it now, but it'll be strange. Everybody will be talking at the same time up here because we record that in the computer. And then I'll announce an open session, the referral of these bills to certain committees. Under our rules, every bill that's introduced and read has a hearing in a committee. Please proceed.
Senate Bill 83, an act to revise certain provisions relating to water development districts. 88, an act to revise the allowable time periods for use of non-resident small game hunting licenses. 129, an act to provide for the severance of certain water rights. 82, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the unclaimed property trust fund. 84, an act to allow the reimbursement of travel expenses during the recruitment of certain professional staff. 90, an act to establish a fee for payments returned to the Office of Secretary of State due to insufficient funds and to provide for the distribution of the fee. 87, an act to allow military spouses to receive unemployment compensation if they leave their jobs due to a spouse's military transfer. 94, an act to establish a pilot uninsured motorist identification database program and make an appropriation therefor. 96, an act to provide the assessment and payment of taxes on certain school and endowment mineral rights leases. 97, an act to require the payment of surface access fee for oil and gas exploration and production. 99, an act to provide for a temporary suspension of certain licenses relating to alcoholic beverages under emergency conditions. 103, an act to revise the procedure for cooperative giving notice to persons whose records are missing regarding ownership of securities, apportionment of equity interest, money, or property. 108, an act to revise the maximum bet limit for Deadwood Gaming. 109, an act to revise definition of adjusted gross proceeds that are subject to the Deadwood Gaming gross revenue tax. Senate Bill 115, an act to implement the regulation of insurance coverage for portable electronic devices. Senate Bill 126, an act to create an oil pipeline indemnity bond program.
Thank you very much. The President Pro Tem has the sign, and the President announces the following bill assignments to the respective committees. To Agriculture and Natural Resources, Senate Bills 83, 88, 129. Appropriations, Senate Bill 82, 84, 90. Senate Commerce, 87, 94, 96, 97, 99, 103, 108, 109, 112, 115, 126. To Senate Education, Senate Bills 77, 79, 85, 98, 106, 122, 127, 130, 138. Health and Human Services is assigned Senate Bills 74, 119, 121, 125, and 131. Judiciary is assigned Senate Bills 76, 78, 86, 132, 133, 134, 135, and 136. To Local Government, Senate Bills 75, 89, 101, 102, 137. To State Affairs, Senate Bills 93, 104, 105, 114, 124, 128. To Senate Taxation, Senate Bills 73, 91, 92, 95, 100, 110, 111, 120, 123, and to Senate Transportation, Senate Bills 80, 81, 107, 113, 116, 117, 118. First reading of House Bills.
House Bill 1003, an act to revise the limitation on the increases and decreases that may be made to the total taxable value of cropland and non-cropland. 1011, an act to revise the definition of domestic use of water. 1013, an act to repeal certain obsolete statutes regarding the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. 1014, an act to prohibit false statements on applications for certain loans, grants, or other financial assistance, and to provide a penalty, therefore. 1001, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the sales and use tax. 1022, an act to revise certain parole hearing provisions regarding inmate compliance waivers and teleconferencing. 1023, an act to repeal and revise certain provisions relating to the Department of Corrections. 1025, an act to make aggravated incidents of violent crime for purposes of setting an initial parole date.
These are House bills that have passed the House and are here for first reading. President Pro Tem has made the following assignments, and the President announces Senate Bills 1003, excuse me, House Bill 1003, 1011, 1013 assigned to Agriculture and Natural Resources, House Bill 1022, 1023, 1025, Judiciary, to State Affairs, House Bill 1014, to Taxation, House Bill 1001, and to Transportation, House Bill 1019 and 1032. Next item of business is what we call our consent calendar. Consent calendar are items or advice and consent of appointments that have come out of committee uncontested. They were unanimous, and there must be a vote in that committee to put them on a consent calendar. These items are not subject to debate, but questions may be asked. Or if there is a debate requested, each Senate member has the authority and ability to pull either the appointment or the individual bills. So consent calendar.
Senator Adelstein requests that the appointment of Patrick Burchill to the Ellsworth Development Authority be removed from the consent calendar. The Senate will proceed to the consideration of the executive appointments of Bob Sutton, Michael Bender, Kenneth McNenny, and Kent Munton to the South Dakota Ellsworth Development Authority.
The question is, does the Senate advise and consent to those appointments? Are there any questions? Hearing none, the question for the South Dakota Senate is, does the Senate advise and consent to the appointments of Mr. Sutton, Mr. Bender, Mr. McNenny, and Mr. Mondon, as noted in your journal and on your calendar? Those in favor of advice and consent will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Bigalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs,
aye.
Frisley,
aye.
Gray,
aye.
Hansen,
aye.
Haverly,
aye.
Heineman,
aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstad.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Nygaard. Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 35.
Thank you. The question of whether the Senate advises and consent to the appointment of Mr. Sutton, Bender, McNenney, and Munden, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed, and those appointments are indeed confirmed.
Senate Bill 5, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the distribution of state publications. Senate Bill 33, an act to revise the exemptions for insurance agent examinations. Senate Bill 3, an act to revise the composition of the state trunk highway system. Senate Bill 55, an act to update certain provisions pertaining to motor carrier safety and transportation of hazardous materials. Senate Bill 29, an act to authorize the establishment of a designated Roth contribution program within the state deferred compensation plan. 56, an act to revise and repeal certain provisions relating to the South Dakota Housing Development Authority.
Thank you, ma'am. Senate Bills 5, 33, 3, 55, 29, and 56, having received a second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. Are there any questions? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bills 5, 33, 3, 55, 29, and 56. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen. Haverly.
Aye.
Heinemann. Heinemann.
Excused. Sorry.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstad.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson. Olson. Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes. Mr. President, there were ayes 34, excused 1.
Thank you, ma'am. Senate Bills 5, 33, 3, 55, 29, 56, having received a majority vote of the members elect, are hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the titles? Hearing none, the titles deemed approved. Second reading. This is our debate calendar, ladies and gentlemen.
Senate Bill 13, an act to revise certain provisions pertaining to reunification and termination of parental rights.
Thank you, ma'am. Senate Bill 13, having received second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Good afternoon, Senator Cutler. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. Thank you, and members of the Senate. Senate Bill 13 comes to us by way of the Department of Social Services, and it does a couple of things. The first is that it expands the conditions that the court can consider in whether or not it's going to require reunification of a family once a child has been removed for abuse and neglect from a family. There are certain conditions that present themselves in which reunification may not be appropriate and termination is appropriate. So it expands those conditions. The first is it allows the court to consider the crimes of aiding, abetting, attempting, conspiring, or soliciting to commit homicide or manslaughter. also the crimes of sexual contact with a child and promoting the prostitution of a minor, and then thirdly, when the parent is required to register as a sex offender. The second thing that Senate Bill 13 does is it brings South Dakota into compliance with CAPTA, which is short for the Federal Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act. CAPTA provides financial aid to states for child protection systems. For those two reasons, I ask for your favorable support of Senate Bill 13. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 13. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Edelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heinemann.
Aye.
Holine.
Aye.
Hunstad.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Kraus.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 35.
Thank you, ma'am. Senate Bill 13, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved.
Senate Bill 32, an act to revise the suitability requirements for annuities.
Thank you. Senate Bill 32, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Lederman, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. President. In 2008, South Dakota enacted requirements for the suitability of annuity sales. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners modeled the law that the current South Dakota suitability requirements are based upon and has been updated since 2008. This bill incorporates those recent changes to the NAIC model. One of the important changes this bill would incorporate is the shifting of the primary oversight of insuring suitability from the agency level to insurance companies. Also, there are a number of additional consumer protections, including enhanced disclosure, a prohibition against insurers issuing annuities that are unsuitable, and additional agent training. Also, the statutes are updated so that an agent who complies with updated security rules is automatically in compliance with the suitability standards. In summary, this bill provides a balanced approach for annuity suitability requirements. It provides greater protections for the consumer in the purchase of annuities, but does so in a manner that has been accepted by all of the major insurance industry stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senate Bill 32? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 32. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Edelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs,
aye.
Frisley,
aye.
Gray,
aye.
Hansen,
aye.
Haverly,
aye.
Heinemann,
aye.
Holine,
aye.
Hunstad,
aye.
Hunhoff,
aye.
Johnston,
aye.
Junkie,
aye.
Kraus,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nostrup,
aye.
Nygaard,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schleckaway,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Thiessen,
aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 35.
Thank you, ma'am. Senate Bill 32, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved.
Senate Bill 58, an act to revise certain provisions concerning elections conducted at voting centers and to declare an emergency.
Senate Bill 58, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Schleckaway, good to see you today.
Good to see you too, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, Senate Bill 58 is permissive legislation that will allow any jurisdiction, whether it be a school district, city, county, to conduct elections using voting centers. I believe this is an exciting new method for our state's election system to gravitate towards. And keep in mind, this is permissive. For those of you in the body who were around in 2010, we passed a bill allowing the Sioux Falls School District to try out this in a pilot project. And based on voter responses to a survey that day and based on some cost savings, it's proven to be very effective. And I think this is kind of where we're transitioning in terms of future elections in South Dakota. Just to review quickly some of the core tenets of this legislation. Number one, vote centers are a place to vote that is not necessarily one's designated polling place. You can essentially vote at any established vote center, and the entire jurisdiction is treated as one large precinct. Another core tenet of this are the electronic poll books that are used. They're what essentially make voting center voting possible. Basically, you can go vote, your name comes off that list, you go try to vote again, not going to happen. So it's very secure. And then another point I wanted to point out in the legislation is it does require the jurisdiction to submit a plan to the Secretary of State's office for approval before you can use this. Now, for those of you from Sioux Falls, my colleagues from Sioux Falls, I'm sure you also voted. I just wanted to talk real briefly about my experience voting last spring under this new system, and it was wonderful. I walked into JFK Elementary, which is not my normal voting location, handed my ID. The first election worker scanned my ID, showed up in their database there on the computer, walked over to the next poll worker. She handed me a receipt. I gave that receipt to the poll worker who distributes the paper ballots. After I signed, I also had to sign an electronic machine like you would at any retailer, like a Walmart or grocery store. And then I voted like we always do, with a paper ballot with a number two pencil. And it's that easy. Just to review some of the cost savings from the pilot election, Sioux Falls, Minnehaha County normally has 10, or excuse me, the Sioux Falls City and School District normally has 59 voting locations. For this one, we had 10. So when you break that down into precinct officials working, that went from 262 to 72 for a cost savings of $18,830.44. Postage, there was a savings in $172. Supplies and printing forms, savings of $1,699. And obviously, from a voter, the added convenience of being able to vote wherever you want within this jurisdiction. You know, people are busy with their lives. They have families. They're picking up kids from daycare, might have a meeting before 8 a.m. You can vote during the day. So there's a voter convenience element to this that is very beneficial, in my opinion. Also, I want to point out to the body, there is an emergency clause on this legislation. And the reason we have that is we would like jurisdictions who express interest to be able to use this for school board and city elections this spring and even the June primary for June. And some of the counties who have already expressed interest are Minnehaha, Pennington, Brookings, Hyde, Potter, Sully, and Charles Mix. So we have our largest counties and some of our smallest on there. So I thought that was a good selling point. I would like to remind members of the Senate that the senator from Yankton County does have an amendment that I consider friendly. And the Secretary of State's office has been great for me to work with on this. I applaud their innovative thinking. And I do think this is the next step for us in the state in terms of voting. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Hunoff, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment at the desk, 58TA.
And has it been distributed?
Yes, it has, Mr. President.
And you move it at this time?
I do, Mr. President.
Is there a second? Thank you. I'll grant you the latitude to speak to 58 Tango Alpha and the bill itself, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, what I'm trying to insert is an addition to the sense of on page 2, line 7 of the bill, It talks about the jurisdictions shall submit a plan for approval to the Secretary of State. Certainly recognizing that we need a plan, but to try to have something more concrete that would come through rules and through the Board of Elections as to what those plans need to include, and also a time frame for the jurisdictions to be able to proceed and submit that plan. The reason I put July 1st of 2013, because there isn't an emergency clause, there are some voting areas that are looking to be able to implement this statute for the next election, and there really isn't a time frame. Plus, we completed the pilot study in the Sioux Falls area, and during testimony, one of the precinct workers who's done extensive research and traveled around the country brought forth some other ideas, and I think we need a time frame in which to see what works. And you've heard my colleague suggest that there are some other jurisdictions that are interested for the primary and the general election in November, and there certainly wouldn't be the time. This would give enough time, and more importantly, it would provide oversight by the Board of Elections as to what should constitute be the components of that plan and that time frame, and not leave that in the hands of one person. So it provides for that. I would ask your support for this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senator Hunoff's motion to amend, Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I speak to both the amendment as well as the bill?
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, first off, I'd just like to say that I think we see different examples of rulemaking authority, and here is an example where obviously I think we can be fairly trustworthy in granting that rulemaking authority, because this Board of Elections involves multiple people who will collectively have to make a decision and vote on that. And, you know, the folks that serve on the Board of Elections are not only appointed by, you know, through the legislative leadership and other folks, you know, they're people that we entrust the ability to make those decisions. So I applaud the effort from the good senator from down at Yankton for bringing forth this amendment. I think it's very worthwhile. Next, as far as the bill is concerned, thank you to the good senator from Sioux Falls for his work in seeing this happen, and to the folks in Sioux Falls for being the guinea pigs to for the rest of the state to allow this to happen for all across the state. I'd just like to remind everyone that this hopefully will be a continual avenue to where we can someday have same-day voter registration and break down that two-week barrier. So I just want to kind of wet your whistle for what might come someday down the road. And I imagine the Secretary of State is cringing a little bit, but he's a good man, too. But I just wanted to throw that out there. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remarks on Senator Hunoff's motion to amend? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is Senator Hunoff's motion to amend, marked 58, Tango Alpha. Those in favor of that motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. 58 is so amended. Further remarks on Senate Bill 58 as amended. Senator Adelstein.
Mr. President, I have on the desk an amendment, something I think F.A. I'd like to move that amendment.
Stand by.
Yes. Sorry.
Yes, sir. I have that amendment 58 Foxtrot Alpha. Correct, sir?
Second.
Okay, second. Comments on that motion, Senator Adelstein.
May I speak to the motion as well as the bill?
Yes, sir. Please do.
The amendment as well as the bill? This is an excellent piece of legislation. The amendment just passed, I think, nearly unanimously, was an excellent amendment because of the very points that Senator Frerichs mentioned in terms of the Board of Elections. However, without my amendment, neither the Board of Elections nor the local authority, if we believe in local jurisdiction, may ever see the plan. The Secretary is given the authority under the sentence number, in line number 7, the section, the jurisdiction shall submit a plan for approval to the Secretary of State. And then it has now been amended. So the Board of Elections will then make the rules. If, however, the Secretary of State summarily disapproves the bill, the Board of Elections will never hear it. Now, why might that happen? Because there is no appeal process set forth, therefore the Secretary of State must answer to no one, including this legislature. Because there are multiple motives, unfortunately, in elections in some places, the Secretary may disapprove it for whatever personal reason that he, she, or they may see, and there is no appeal. I'll give you an example. He, she, or they thinks that this is an excellent method which will disadvantage their party, regardless of party, or in the case of a primary, will disadvantage a primary candidate that he, she, or they favors. He, she, or they think that this jurisdiction is governed by a school board, a mayor, a city council, that they personally disagree with on social or other values, and they would decide simply to disapprove the plan. Nowhere in this bill is it required that the Secretary of State states the reasons for the disapproval. I'll give you an example, of course, that some of us experienced, a discussion in terms of voting and serving meals in certain jurisdictions in this state a few years ago where the cultures are different. Certainly a Secretary of State could absolutely disapprove the plan. It would never then go to the Board of Elections. Another example, he, she, or they thinks that one or more precincts might be more favorable to their primary candidate. Therefore, to have this voting plan where individuals had to travel a greater distance or a lesser distance may disadvantage or advantage that candidate's, that Secretary of State's a friend or supporter or sharer of values, whatever they may be. There's no reason, no conceivable reason that I can think of why the Secretary of State should have the right to disapprove a plan that has been approved by a local jurisdiction, that has been freely elected by their constituents, and in a county in which that he, she, or they do not or never have lived, that are governed by a local body that may or may not disagree with the Secretary of State. This gives the Secretary of State an individual authority which is grossly inappropriate. I would like us to approve this amendment and let it go forward and pass the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks, Senator Schleckway.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I do appreciate my friend, the senator from Rapid City, bringing it. I would urge the members to resist the amendment. You know, the Secretary of State is our elections officer. You know, that's their job. And I would argue, and I think he would agree, approval's needed, you know, to develop these plans, whether it's the location of the voting centers, the number of voting centers, what security measures they're going to implement, poll worker training, voter education. This needs to be approved. And, again, at the end of the day, Secretary of State has to approve all initiated measures. They have to approve all constitutional amendments that come into their office. So I would argue that the words of approve do belong in this legislation. So I respectfully disagree with my friend over there, and I would urge the body to resist the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks on Senator Adelstein's motion to amend? Hearing none, the question, does anybody wish to speak before Senator Adelstein speaks a second time? Senator?
With due respect to the excellent senator's remarks, the other issues that he raised in terms of being the voting officer I have no argument with them. However, if there's a disagreement, for example, as you mentioned, on a constitutional amendment, there's an appeal. In fact, we've had appeals, unfortunately, some numerous appeals. There is no appeal. There's no legal recourse, simply the right of the Secretary of State to approve or disapprove. In terms of the various issues that you just mentioned, whether it be voting machines, security, or all the rest, those have to be in a plan, and the rules by the Board of Elections will prevail. You don't need some individual who can overrule them before they even can see them. All I'm saying is it's an excellent bill. Do not put this wonderful plan that works so well in your county under the acceptance or non-acceptance by a single individual for no reason or any reason.
Further remarks on the motion to amend? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is Senator Adelstein's motion to amend marked.
Roll call, please.
Roll call's been requested. Is he supported? Just double-checking. He's supported. Roll call is supported. Thank you. Question before the Senate is Senator Adelstein's motion to amend marked 58 Foxtrot Alpha. Those in favor of that motion to amend will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Bigalka?
No.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
No.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
No.
Gray.
No.
Hansen.
No.
Haberle.
No.
Heineman.
No.
Holeen. Hunstad. Hunhoff,
no.
Johnston,
no.
Junkie,
no.
Kraus,
no.
Krebs,
no.
Lederman,
aye.
Maher,
no.
Nelson,
no.
Nostrup,
no.
Nygaard,
aye.
Olson,
no.
Peters,
no.
Putnam,
no.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave, Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
No.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
No.
Thiessen.
No.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 12, nays 22, one excused.
Senator Adelstein's motion to amend marked 58 Foxtrot Alpha, having failed to receive a majority vote of the members present, is hereby declared lost. Return to Senate Bill 58 as amended. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 58 as amended. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. It does require two-thirds majority vote for passage due to the emergency clause. Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Adelstein? Bigalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstad.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Junkie,
aye.
Kraus,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nostrup,
aye.
Nygaard,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schleckaway,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 35.
Thank you. Senate Bill 58, as amended, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Were there any questions about the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, please join me in thanking and welcoming Dr. Jerome Blake for being our Doctor of the Day, taking care of us today. Thank you for volunteering your time, sir. And how about we give it up for Senator Schoenbeck? He's hanging up here. Come on. Both husband and wife have been dropping things on their son right below them, so it's you better move, Lucas. Move, man. Welcome back. Please proceed.
Senate Bill 24, an act to require certain applicants for licensure as health professional or licensee who is the subject of a disciplinary investigation to submit to a state and federal criminal background check.
Thank you. Senate Bill 24, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Good afternoon, Senator Krebs.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Senate Bill 24 has been brought to you by the request of the Board of Medical and Osteopathic Examiners, as well as the Nursing, Dentistry, and Pharmacy Boards. Currently, they do have authorization for background checks, but they would like to expand those areas of the background checks into other healthcare professionals, and specifically a state and federal background check. And their concern is for those that are prescribing controlled substances, as well as those that are involved with the vulnerable patients or the vulnerable communities. So what they're asking, and currently, right now, these boards do background checks with your nurses, your RNs, your LPNs, but they'd like to expand that to, again, those that have the controlled substance prescriptive authority. So that would then expand that to your physicians, physician's assistants, nurse practitioners, dentists, pharmacists, as well as nursing facility administrators. Currently, right now, it is they rely on a system of a self-disclosure of past criminal history. And as you well know, I think that you would feel more comfortable being able to tell your constituents in the times and the world that is changing that a background check, both state and federal, would be most appropriate, as well as a fingerprinting authority. This would expand to about 458 new background checks per year. So it is an extensive expansion, but the cost and the burden does lie on the applicant. Reminder that the current RNs and LPNs do pay that background cost, which is about $43, as well as the fingerprinting around $15. So we're again ensuring that those that are in touch in the healthcare profession, we do make sure that we have the right people there protecting our citizens that are utilizing these facilities. I'd encourage your support of Senate Bill 24.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senate Bill 24? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 24. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler. Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard. Olson, Peters,
aye.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schleckaway,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Thiessen,
aye.
Valley.
Aye.
There were 35 ayes, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senate Bill 24, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved.
Senate Bill 31, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the South Dakota retirement system, the South Dakota Deferred Compensation Plan, and the South Dakota Special Pay Retirement Program.
Senate Bill 31, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Senate Bill 31 comes to us from the South Dakota retirement system, and it clarifies, corrects, and cleans up some laws governing the retirement system. First, the term municipal is removed as it applies to firefighters. This broadens the definition to include full-time firefighters, not just municipal employees. When the statute was originally written, there were no firefighters other than municipal firefighters. Also, the deletion of the term municipal as it refers to police officers. It removes a redundancy since the definition of a police officer includes the qualification that that person be a municipal employee. The bill also revises terms to be gender neutral, such as fireman to firefighter and policeman to police officer. In addition, there are some corrections included in this bill. For example, Section 2 includes a section of law from the definition of contributory service that should have been excluded originally. The effect of this change is to clarify that certain services purchased are not included for the purposes of determining when a person is vested. The bill also corrects several obvious errors in cross-reference, and there is absolutely no fiscal impact to the retirement system. I encourage your support on Senate Bill 31, and thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senate Bill 31? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 31. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Edelstein.
Aye.
Bogolka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler. Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead.
Aye.
Hunhoff,
aye.
Johnston,
aye.
Junkie,
aye.
Krause,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Lederman,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Nostrup,
aye.
Nygaard, Olson,
aye.
Peters,
aye.
Putnam,
aye.
Rampelberg,
aye.
Rave,
aye.
Roden,
aye.
Schleckaway,
aye.
Sutton,
aye.
Tiedemann,
aye.
Thiessen,
aye.
Valley,
aye.
Nygaard,
aye.
Mr. President, there were 34 ayes, one excused.
Senate Bill 31, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved.
Senate Bill 19, an act to revise the rulemaking authority of the Commission on Gaming to allow the Commission to authorize the Executive Secretary of the Commission on Gaming to take certain actions on gaming licensees.
Thank you. Senate Bill 19, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Rave.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 19 is brought before us today from the Commission on Gaming. The only change to current law is found on the last four lines of page 2 on the printed bill. The change would allow the Commission on Gaming to promulgate rules to allow the Executive Secretary to administratively handle routine license renewals and transfers subject to the approval of the Commission at its next regular meeting. Just to clarify, these are only on routine license renewals and transfers. Under current law, these actions must be approved by the full Commission at its quarterly meeting, or they have to hold a special meeting. The holder of a retail license may simply want to utilize that license at a location other than the address that the license is currently assigned. Current law requires a meeting of the commission before this can happen. The change would allow the executive secretary of the commission to administratively approve these transfers and renewals subject to the commission's final approval at its regular meeting. Again, it would be subject to the commission's final approval at its next regular meeting. New licenses, any new licenses for businesses or key employees would still need to be approved by the full commission before those licenses would be issued. This bill helps eliminate some government red tape and allows the commission and its staff to be more responsive to businesses in Deadwood, but would not relax or lessen in any way the license requirements, including full background investigations of applicants of Deadwood gaming licenses. I would ask for your support of Senate Bill 19 and stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Senator Rave spoke very well to the bill, and I just want to echo my support for it. This is, again, for existing licenses only. It's for routine license changes, and it is the industry welcomes this bill. It certainly helps move things along from decision standpoint so that things don't have to wait until the next commission meeting. This is a good bill for the industry. It's also a good bill, as obviously, because it came from the Commission on Gaming, and I would encourage your support.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 19. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford. Bradford. Brown.
Aye.
Bue.
Aye.
Cutler. Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heinemann.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Kraus. Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
No.
Valley.
Aye.
Senator Bradford.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 32, nays 2, excused 1.
Senate Bill 19, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved.
Senate Bill 57, an act to revise and repeal certain administrative rules relating to the South Dakota Housing Development Authority.
Thank you. Senate Bill 57, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, I was asked with Senate Bill 57 why it wasn't on consent calendar, and I guess I will confess that I am the reason, as chairman of that committee, for not allowing it to go on to the consent. And the reason, ladies and gentlemen, is thought it was worthy of note. Who among us have not heard from constituents at Cracker Barrels or on the street the idea, and I've heard it a number of times, that we should be forced to repeal the same number of laws that we add to the books on a yearly basis? Well, I think there's some misperception about the total amount of language law that we add each year. But having said that, our governor made a commitment earlier this year to review our laws and, where it was appropriate, to clean up our statutes and remove language that was unnecessary red tape. And in fact, I think Senate Bill 57 is one product of that commitment. Senate Bill 57 is one of 22 bills totaling 168 pages in length that the governor is proposing to repeal. So I didn't want to go all those bills to go on consent and stay under the radar without mention, because I think the governor's proven true to his word as far as looking for these appropriate areas to trim the red tape and remove unnecessary language. And that's just in statute. There's also, I believe, They propose eliminating nearly 1,100 rules, 200,000 words from the administrative rule books in South Dakota. So again, just wanted to make mention of that. Senate Bill 57 is cleanup, and if you look at the bill, a number of pages of language that's being repealed from our statute. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Roden. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 57. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Adelstein.
Aye.
Begalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Cutler.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunstead.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Krause.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Nostrup.
Aye.
Nygaard.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Schleckaway.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there were ayes 34, excused 1.
Thank you. Senate Bill 57, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved. Announcements, ladies and gentlemen. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Commerce and Energy, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, room 423.
Thank you, sir. Senator Krebs.
Senate Ag, 10 a.m.
Thank you. Senator Junkie.
I have two of them, Mr. President. This afternoon we go into, we adjourn back into joint appropriations for a hearing with personnel that includes salary / benefits. Tomorrow morning from 8:25 till noon is education, and then tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 5, Attorney General. And, Mr. President, I had a note from Justice Wilbur concerning the 6th Judicial Court. Do you want that today or tomorrow?
It's fine. Yeah. Right now would be good.
Okay. She sent me an open note, maybe meant to many of you, on the DUI court that's been rescheduled from last Wednesday, January 18th. It'll be tomorrow after session in room 413. That includes Chief Justice David Gilbertson, Lori Wilbur, and Presiding Judge John L. Brown concerning the DUI in the 6th Judicial, the DUI court here in 6th Judicial Circuit. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Judiciary tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
8 a.m. Judiciary. Further announcements? Further announcements? Madam Secretary.
Senator Gray moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We are adjourned. Thank you.